Hey guys, it's your best five friends. I'm Kelsey. That's Anthony Pettis. Anthony, I talked to you right after you signed with PFL before the season started. Now you're smack dab in the middle of it. You have a big fight coming up at PFL 4 on June 10th. How excited are you to get back in the cage?
Man, super excited. Honestly, that's one thing I'm happy about with this format. You know, like my last performance, I wasn't happy with what I did out there. You know, I think I let the pressure get to me. I went out there, I fought a weird style that I shouldn't have fought against this guy. And, you know, I paid the results for that. You know, that was a decision I made. So I went back to camp. I went to Vegas and worked on my basics, man. I saw where I was missing, like my holes and like the little areas I was missing. So I went focused on that, got that figured out, fixed up. And if it was exactly what I needed, like it was what I was missing with that, finding that rhythm, finding that flow. I was trying to force everything. So I went back and found it, and man, we only had, you know, 7 week turnaround. So it feels good to be right back at it.
You lost the decision to Clay Collard. I think it was PFL 1. Mm-hmm. You talked before about having a target on your back. And do you feel like, because from the just watching the fight, it did seem like maybe you were trying to do something spectacular rather than just
I was just fighting a flashier style. You know, I chose a traditional fight stance. You know, I didn't go orthodox and didn't try to, you know, outbox him. I tried to, you know, go to a flashy fight stance, you know, orthodox, my taekwondo background. But I think I definitely I played into that. You know, it wasn't like he did something different or just something I didn't see before. I've seen that style before. It was just I chose the wrong style to fight that style.
Yeah, and you've been successful with the flashy style, right? You've had some of the most incredible moments in MMA history.
I mean, and I just keep forgetting, you know, like most of the big moments in MMA, like when them happen, is like I built it up with basics. Like the Showtime kick happened in the fifth round of a title fight, not you know, the first 2 minutes. You know, like I didn't look for it until I won the basics. So that's what I'm going to attach to this fight, go in there, win the basics, and then build up.
I talked to Clay Collard and also was at the press event before your fight, and he kept telling a story about – run into you in the UFC and just feeling like, you know, you look down on everybody, or he said that basically he felt like you were better than everybody. And when I heard it, it was weird to me because I've never got that feeling about you. I've never seen anybody else say that. But I wondered, like, what was your account of that?
Probably because they have us in a bubble. So we're here for 17 days around each other. You know, and these are the guys I'm fighting for the season, you know, so I'm walking around confident. Like that's if he makes mistakes, my confidence for like looking down on him. Now I just feel like, you know, I've fought every style in the MMA before. So like, I don't see anything like I haven't seen before. And, you know, I still walk around confident even after that last fight. This is who I am.
During makeup, he says that stuff to himself. So that's the way he gets up for fights. You know, some people do that.
That makes sense, I guess, if he's like, you know, building up. But, you know, I'm not that dude, you know. I think I'm very and I come from a traditional martial arts background, and I keep the respect in this thing.
Yeah. Well, I've seen a lot of on Instagram. I've seen you a lot where it looks like you said you're working on the basics. It looks like you're throwing a lot of boxing in. Do you feel like that is a way back to victory? You fight Alex Martinez on June 10th. Obviously, he's an entirely different fighter, but do you feel like boxing will be important?
I think it was important for me to find the basics again. You know, I was attaching to like these big moments, and I was trying to practice the big moments where I should have been practicing the basics. So I think going back to the boxing gym and reminding myself, all right, the footwork drills, this is how I move, this is how I step forward, backwards, like getting to the basics really helped. And I attached to that this camp. I'm like, all right, that's how you build up these big moments. And yeah, I felt good, man. I mean, I really put myself in a scary position in Vegas. Like that, them boxing gyms ain't no joke. Like there's killers at all them gyms. There's no like soft boxing gyms in Vegas. So I went with Jorge Capatillo, and you know, he's training like some guys like Linares. He's training, you know, for Tyson Fury right now. So like, you got some great camp, real boxing guys, you know, real boxers that are, you know, fighting at the top level. So it was cool for me to see, man, to see that culture and like get that flow and feel that rhythm again, and find that love for that. That's part of the game.
Yeah, it's so amazing. MMA is so amazing to me just because you always are looking for ways to grow and learn, even you, right? You're one of the most popular UFC champions in history, and here you are still trying to, like, learn stuff.
So much to learn, man. Yeah, that's what the beautiful thing about mixed martial arts is. It's like, you know, putting it together is like even my little brother, like, his last fight, seeing him put it together like that, I was like, man, that's so beautiful. I was like, it's like a beautiful performance that's like, you know, the world's blessed to see, because I know how hard that is to do out there.
Yeah. PFL math. I don't want to get it bogged down in PFL math, but you go into this fight and the time you fight. So I wonder, my question is this, do you have somebody there that's trying to like compute all this so that you know what you have to do?
I mean, like the most points I can get is 6 points, right? So it's like I got to go out there and focus on that. But if I get a first round finish, I get 6 points. Second round finish, it goes down. Third round goes down. So I mean, the objective is to hopefully get 6 points and put myself in that tournament. You know, and it all depends on what happens in these fights too. Because like, a guy who has 3 points right now, if he loses, then he's he's still at 3 points. Right. So it's kind of weird, you know, like guys are fighting guys who, won and lost before. So yeah, I don't want to get too crazy in that. My job is to go out there, win this next fight, and hopefully look for the finish. And that's what I'm going to do again.
That's good. Cause I feel overwhelmed just trying to understand it. So I'm glad you're not worrying your head about that. I love the PFL format though. The season format's awesome, but you know what? Like this thing with Clay Collard, maybe I also love the other format where maybe we have feuds now. So are you hoping that maybe you see him in the tournament?
Oh yeah, man, for sure. Hopefully he gets through, I get through, and we see each other in the end of the tournament. Yeah, definitely, man. I feel like I'll pick back up what if I left off. And I hit him with that big kick and that jump knee, and I was like, I'm surprised he didn't get knocked out. So I know now I fight him again, I attack that body.
You were a longtime UFC champion. This was your debut with the PFL this year. Another guy is returning to the UFC action soon, and one of your old opponents, Nate Diaz, right?
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of when he fought you, right? Because you were just coming off the Stephen Thompson fight at welterweight. Uh-huh. Big fight, a big knockout win for you. And here, and at the time, people were like, why would Nate Diaz want to fight this guy when he's been out of the octagon for a long time? What do you think about him wanting to fight Leon Edwards in this?
Yeah, I think he's smart about it now. He's being smart about his career. I think, at that point, we got the experience. He's choosing his fights right now. He's waiting for a guy to, get close to contendership, and then he, calls him out. And if he wins, puts his name in a hat. So I think he's being smart about his career right now. And he's calling out some killers, man. Leon Edwards is a killer too, bro. So it's like he's no punk.
The story makeup, maybe it's me coming from boxing, but when you have a big name, you don't have to fight Showtime Anthony Perez, or you don't have to fight Leon Edwards if you don't want to. But this guy wants to.
But he wants that. He's hungry for that. For put his name back in that title running. That's good. That's the fight he should want. If he's if he would have called out somebody else, then maybe he doesn't want to fight. Maybe he's trying to come back. But he called out Leon Edwards, so he's getting ready. And his brother's in camp too, I think. So I mean, they're probably just they're probably just loving the training lifestyle. I mean, I got my brother too. I know how that feels. Like once you get in the vibe. One guy wins or one guy gets some motivation, the other guy gets it. It's dope to have that.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's not something that a lot of people are able to. You feel like he can win the fight?
Nate Diaz?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man, for sure. I think Nate can win any fight. I think he does get cut a lot, so I think he has to watch the elbows because Leon Edwards is a great clinch game. He's really good with, forward pressure. He uses the clinch. So, when guys come at him, he doesn't stop really with the wrestling. He stops him with a clinch, and then he beats him up and then backs him up. So if Nate can use that dirty boxing in the clinch, get him on the cage, make it dirty. Dude has cardio, man. It's when I fought him, I remember, I was like, dude, he just doesn't get tired.
I just watched that fight because it's the UFC free fight. Uh-huh. So I re-watched it.
I caught him with the first right hook, and I hurt him. And I should have stayed southpaw on him. I switched back orthodox, and I low-kicked him in the second round. Dumbass decision. That's crazy how these fights happen.
Yeah, it's crazy. It just turns on a dime, and there's so much you have to be
prepared. Yeah, man, I broke my foot on his knee, and I'm like, I fell down, and I stood up, and I'm like, I couldn't plant anymore. Yeah. So I'm like, it's crazy.
That's not the thing you want. Do you think he will win the fight?
Man, I haven't put a lot of thought on that one, honestly, bro. It's been a while. I've been focused on what I'm doing right now, so I haven't really been watching super hard on contenderships and who's next. I think he has a chance for sure. I just don't know, if he can deal with that clinch. That's going to be the deciding factor is how he can deal with that clinch. Because if he tries to walk him down, Leon's putting him in the clinch. He's going to, stop him with the clinch, low kick, put them hands on him. So we'll see how he deals with that.
He looks like he packed on a lot of muscle, unless it's a camera trick. Have you seen on Instagram? He's like...
No, I haven't seen it, no.
Jack, bro, does that help or hurt, you think?
It just depends on the style of fight you want to fight, man. If you're trying to be quick and loose and in and out, then you don't want to be jacked. If you're looking to hold somebody on the cage and out grapple them and out wrestle them, the more muscle mass you have, the better.
You're one of the few people who's left the UFC that I've seen, at least in my short time covering the UFC, that actually left on good terms with Dana White. So I wonder if you could share your secret, right? I don't ever hear you talking noise about Dana, and I never really hear Dana talking noise about you.
Nah, Dana's my boy, man. When I was up and coming, from the WEC, and then I had to earn my title shot in the UFC. Man, me and him been through so much together, bro. Like I remember when I bought my mom a house, I was FaceTiming him, telling him thank you. Getting the cover of the Wheaties box. Me and I'm in Vegas, so I see him all the time. We, you know, we've been to fights, dinners. Like, we had a good friendship, you know. And I never talked shit about him. He never talked shit about me because I came in to fight. You know, when I was there, I was like, they were like, yo, who wants to fight Wonder Boy? I'll fight him. You know, like, so there's nothing really, you can't really say much. And then leaving on the two fights, wins, you know, I fought my contract out. Like, there's not, I did it right. You know, I wasn't like talking shit before I was going to leave or anything. I was just like, I told everybody, I even told him, I'll fight my contract out and see what happens from there.
I love that about.
Yeah. Now we left off on great terms, man. I still talk to him.
Do you ever feel like you could give a class to maybe somebody like John Jones on how to interface with?
Man, I mean, the crazy thing about that is, like, he is our boss. Like, he decides how much money we're making. So, like, yeah. Relationship could hurt and could, you know, affect money as well. So it's like, there's a fine line between that, you know, where business talk and friendship and all that flows. So all my business, I pass to my managers. I let that flow through them. And then, you know, when it was friendship time.
Yeah, I love that about you. I do understand, like, John Jones a little bit because I'm a feelings person too. So I've gone on the internet before and, like, tweeted a bunch of stuff that maybe I shouldn't have. So hopefully that works out. Do you think they'll end up making that fight with Francis?
I hope so, man. That's what we all need to see, bro. I'm actually really happy for Francis. I know Francis from Vegas and, like, seeing him at the PI and, like, dude, he's such a good guy. And, like, to see the success and the level of wrestling he got in, like, one camp, man. Dude, he's dangerous. Like, he looked good out wrestling. So good things happen to good people, bro. So hopefully both of them guys get that shot.
Good things are happening to you, man. You're the face of the PFL, one of the faces, right? I see you all over there marketing all the time. You definitely deserve it. You have a big fight on June 10th against Alex Martinez. What's your prediction for that fight?
I'm putting them hands on him, man. I think, I've been working on my boxing. I'm still going to use my kicks, but in this approach to this one, I'm using my hands a lot and finding that range, finding that rhythm. Dude's good. Like, he's undefeated. You know, they picked a great group of lightweights, brothers. Like, the lightweight division stacked everywhere. Any organization you go to, lightweight stack. So I'm looking forward to me just fighting a smart fight, because, like, last fight I wasn't smart out there. Like, in the wars I was throwing cartwheel kicks and, like, I just looked sloppy. So I want to fix that.
Well, I'm excited about it. I'm really grateful to talk to you again. Thanks for the chat.
No problem, bro. Later.